3 or 4 years ago, I just said, we've done this before. We've been through this exercise. The one time that I can recall something like this happening, it was back when Senator Roth of Delaware was chairing the key Senate committee. They did it, and then they immediately started exempting agencies. They exempted defense, IRS. The larger federal agencies were exempted, and it became kind of a joke, but it still happened. But that was then. You think people have learned, but given the mood of the Congress and apparently the public, I would say that this has a fairly good shot of happening. In fact, if I had to guess, you know, yay or nay, I would say yes, it'll happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, historical perspective, and I always ask for this because you've been covering this for a long time.
There's a thing called a Washington Monument cut. And that you can change it around, but let's say, for instance, they tell the Interior Department, you've got to cut your budget by 10%. And the Interior Department goes to the National Park Service and they say, why don't we shut down the Washington Monument elevators during tourist season? You know, in April and March and April and May, when all those kids are coming here from Podunk to see the nation's capital. And so the constituents get here, they can't go up in the monument, one of the things on the tour, or they can't get into the Smithsonian, or the zoo is closed, or some national shrine that they were looking at. So they immediately go to their congressman, and the congressman go to Interior or whoever shut it down and say, you idiots, why did you do this? And they say, sir, you told us to economize, and we're economizing. And it's a little bit of a blackmail, but there are ways to do that. And it is interesting if you could put somebody in a room, mm-hmm. get somebody who's for whether their politics are right or left, but they have a problem with the government and say, I couldn't agree with you more. Here's what we're going to cut and get things that are near and dear to them, and you will suddenly see vital services. So it's chaotic at best.
Well, let's talk about then what this bill would then do to the federal workforce. If it actually does have a shot, and you seem to believe that it does, what would people notice? I mean, is it every 10th person would then be jobless?
I believe the commission recommendation, the original commission recommendation, was something like a reduction via attrition. And that is for every 3 people that left, they could only fill 2 jobs. I don't know how the math works out on that.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to walk in and say, okay, 10% of you have to go. It would be an attrition thing. The other funny thing that happens when the government does things like this, when the government tightens hiring or starts getting layoffs, people stop retiring. You know, people who would normally retire say something's wrong. The economy is bad or something, or maybe the job market isn't very good as it is not right now, but the rate of retirement drops. So this attrition thing is sort of self-defeating. You know, you announce attrition and then people stop attriting, if that's the word.
I see what you mean. And so then it pushed the government in a position of having to
lay
people off.
Right. And if you lay off, then and all of the top managers say the problem with a reduction in force, which the U.S. Postal Service is looking at, according to Federal Times, the problem with something like that is you get it's last hired, first fired. So the bright, young, new blood that everyone professes to want in government agencies, those are the people, the short service people, who are fired first.
We are talking with senior correspondent Mike Causey, and as you had alluded to earlier in this interview, workplace safety, federal worker safety, lawmaker safety, these are, of course, top of mind right now because of what happened over the weekend. But I want to take a look at your column, a little bit of a closer look at your column, talking about Fed bashing and how that pendulum might be swinging back now.
You know, it's so hard to say. This seemed to come out of the blue about a year ago, and there was a front page story, I think it was in USA Today, about the disparity in federal pay in some area. I don't know whether it was comparing it to the private sector or comparing it to the general public. And it was an interesting piece, and you know, you could make that argument, but as with anything statistical, it can be massaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one, and then the Wall Street Journal picked it up, and the Washington Times picked it up. And a number of publications, and it was spread all around the country. And it as we say in the business, the story suddenly had legs.
Mm-hmm.
People seemed to be really interested in it. The economy was bad, and they could look at the fat cats in Washington and say they're making an average of whatever it was, $94,000 a year, compared to the average American salary of 40 or 50, something like that. And again, when you go without making the case that Uncle Sam doesn't have Walmarts, doesn't have McDonald's and those kinds of service jobs. But it just seems to have gone on and on, and it's diluted into other areas, and now the jobs in the same cities for the government are better paying than they are in the private sector, which may be true. I don't know. But it's completely opposite of what the government data shows, which is roughly a 23% gap in most jobs in most cities. So, but it seems to have taken a little life of its own.